morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host for the program is Stone Payton. He is a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning, Stone.
Good morning, sir. How you been, man?
I am doing great. Hey, what's this rumor that Glen Lake Studios got a new show coming on with JAO?
Yeah, that's going to be fun. You were out there visiting with the kids. We had a host certification class for junior achievement. But yeah, we're going to have a weekly radio show, and these kids are responsible for the whole bit. We're going to provide the platform. Mm-hmm. We're going to provide a professional engineer every week. But they're going to go out, invite executives to come on the show. They're going to be preparing the interview. They're going to be doing the posting on the website, the follow-up, the whole bit. We're very jazzed about that.
That's good. And they're high school students.
And they're high school students. And you saw how sharp they are, and enjoyed having you out there. They grilled you, didn't they? They had a lot of questions.
Yes, they did. Yes, even during lunch, they didn't stop. They didn't stop. Well, hey, today's conversation with our guests focuses upon the courage to change careers and transform one's life. Now, I know that sounds like a curious topic for a show devoted to business leaders and entrepreneurs and their books, but not really. I underwent a major career change in 2000 when I left ministry after 25 years, and now I coach business leaders and entrepreneurs in writing their books, and I even host this internet radio show. Wow. And Stone, you've engaged in a career refocus as well, haven't you?
Well, I never have been able to hold down a job. But I've been hired and fired from some of the, most well-respected training and consulting firms on the planet. So I know all of them, and a lot of them know me, and I spent a lot of time in that career. Mm-hmm. And went out and did, I put that book out, and I went out and did the keynote speaking thing. And so that was a lot of fun. But I started doing my own radio show about 2.5 years ago, I saw what Lee Cantor, the CEO of Business Radio X, was up to, and I jumped all over it. I grabbed onto his coattails, and I'm not letting go. So now I'm managing partner at Business Radio X, and we're out there trying to help folks get their arms around how to use this platform to grow their business. It beats the hell out of working, I'll tell you that.
That's exactly right.
There you go. Well, Andrea Rosenthal is the founder of Career Solutions, is with us to discuss her current journey and writing her book with the working title of The Courage to Change Careers. And our other guest is Richard Morgan. Now, having gone through 3 major job searches in his professional career, Richard is working on a book about his experiences through which he hopes to offer direction, hope, and a bit of humor to what many may feel to be an overwhelming experience. Those who are regular listeners, we interview our guests one at a time, but today I'm going to formally introduce both of the guests and then open up the mic, so to speak, for a roundtable discussion. Andrea Rosenthal has her early in a career transition. And prior to beginning this operation in 2010, Richard held progressive business development roles within the consumer products industry. And I've told Stone that he's allowed to be in on this conversation full force, since all of us have had a similar experience. So, first off, welcome to both of our guests. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
And let's jump right in. Andrea, what's your experience of career change?
Quite extensive. My own personal as well as my clients as well. I've worked with over 2,000 people, Tim, that are looking to make changes in their career.
You're not that old.
And I know, I'm not that old. How could that be? But I've seen, I don't know if you've heard the latest statistic, I'm not big on statistics, but the latest statistic is that over 70 people currently work, or 70% of the people working currently are unhappily working. Mm. So there's so many individuals out there that really are better destined for a different career, and I see it, and I'm so passionate about it, and in the 2,000 people already that I've worked with, I see what a difference it makes. I know you've already experienced that for mm-hmm. yourself as well.
Oh, yeah.
The passion and the excitement for life when you're in the right career and you're in the right space for you versus mm-hmm. not being there and the frustration that it can cause.
Yeah, getting a paycheck and going home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Richard, how about you? In the intro, I commented on it. You've done career change how many times?
3 times in just over 10 years.
Wow. And you're still trying to get it right.
I'm still trying to get it right, but I think practice makes perfect. So I'm hoping I'm not going to have to practice too much longer.
We understand that one. We understand that one. Well, Richard, what was the greatest challenge? What has been the greatest challenge for you as you've done these career changes?
Well, this latest transition has been very interesting because there's so many people that are in transition. So obviously the competition for viable professionals is great. So for me, just finding that opportunity and getting in front of the decision maker has been quite the process. So I've had to go outside the box a bit. Traditional methods don't work, so I've had to actually engage in other methods and certainly broaden my scope in terms of what I'm looking for and what I'm trying to target in terms of a career.
Well, could you give our listeners a sense of how drastic, should we say, your career changes have been?
Well, when you say drastic, I would say one time I was out of work for about 12 months, another time for about 14 months, and this latest time has just been over 20 months. So it's when you say drastic, the time frame, and that doesn't seem unusual anymore. In the past 6 months seemed to be quite a while. Now 12 months is basically you're still in your infancy stage.
Wow, and you know, if practice makes perfect, you got to worry about how many months it'll take the next time.
You do.
What kind of careers have you had?
Primarily, I've held director and national sales executive roles with consumer packaged goods, primarily tangibles, mostly in the food industry.
Mm-hmm. And is that what you're looking at now, or what are you trying to do this round?
Interestingly enough, I'm kind of looking for a change. I've had a just enjoyed writing ever since I was in college. I took art of film class. I took writing classes. Right now I lead a consumer packaged goods group, and I started out with just a few notes each week, and it's turned into basically a dissertation each week when I write the minutes, and I've gotten a lot of feedback. And in there, I put a section in there called Reflections from Richard, just things I've gone through in the week. So I embellish a bit, and I get excited, and now I find that it goes from two paragraphs to four paragraphs. So I enjoy writing, so I'm looking at something in terms of a writing opportunity.
Well, that's exciting. That's exciting.
Absolutely.
And you obviously have one of those tools, how to make more out of little. And that's a good thing.
Well, I'd like to think so, and I get a lot of good and positive feedback. I think if I hadn't have gotten that, I probably would have stopped a long time ago. But I get a lot of good feedback, so I must be doing something right so far.
That's great. Andrea, what do you find is the greatest challenge for the people that you work with when they may not be voluntarily facing a career change? It's been thrust upon them.
I would say that it's probably like a 60-40. You're absolutely right, that a good portion of the individuals, it wasn't their choice. Once it's happened, they're actually glad because it wasn't the right career for them anyway, but it's difficult. It's difficult to make that change because we're creatures of habit. And I think to answer your question, the biggest thing that comes up is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the change, fear of not knowing what to do next. Mm-hmm. I think that often stops individuals from being able to move forward.
So if it is your choice, what is the right way to leave? Because you don't want to burn the bridges. And if it's not your choice, how do you position that for the next opportunity? Both of those seem like they would be real challenges.
Well, I think when you're looking for an opportunity, I don't think you just cut and walk away. You never again want to burn bridges. But I think you always try to look for an opportunity while you have an opportunity. That catchphrase is still true. It's easier to find an opportunity when you have one. You're already networked. You already have those connections. And I think that's the best way to start. And never just jump right into something, into the abyss. I think you have to take those measured steps. But if you take a measured process and you look at opportunities, kind of measure out and assess what's best for you, I think that's a good starting point.
And there's I'll put a quick plug in here. Once a month, I do a workshop that's called Discover Your Right Fit Career. And the majority of those individuals are currently working, but they're not working in the right fit. So it gives them a chance, exactly what Richard was saying, it gives them a chance to really think about, where could I go next? Where are my skills, my interests, my passions best utilized? And how would I set that up? And what would be the path? And what would be the strategy to get there? So exactly what Richard's saying, they're already starting to think about what would be the steps to take while they're currently working, which is a great situation if you can do that.
How do you help them do that? Now, let me use me, okay?
Let's use you.
Let's talk about you, your favorite subject.
Yeah, it's my show. But 25 years in ministry, and I know when I left it, people were just astounded. Why would you do that? That's all you ever wanted to be. And I admit that I wasn't sure what I was going to be in my second phase of growing up. And I did play with about three other occupations until I got into this one. I know how this is just a logical thing for me. When people ask, what are my credentials for writing? I say, I have no degrees in it. But by golly, for 25 years, I wrote a weekly essay and a few other things. How do you plant the seeds in people? And both of you do this because you work with job seekers, Richard, and you're obviously, it's right. your profession, Andrea. How do you plant the seed? How do you get that creative thing going for people to think, what can I do?
Yeah. It's a great question. I think it first comes from within, that the individual starts, like what you were saying, you're in a career for a certain amount of time and you start to question. And I think that's the first step, is it comes from within, that they start to question, what do I want to do? What really would make me excited and enlivened, you know, every day? What would make me wake up on Sundays, you know, or go to bed Sunday nights and wake up Monday mornings and be excited about doing what I'm doing? You know, and I think that that's the first seed, is it comes from within. And then once they start questioning, what does that look like? Most people, that's where they stop.
Mm-hmm.
They question
mm-hmm.
it, and then they go back to work on Monday, and you know, and life goes on, right? Mm-hmm. But when they come to someone like a career coach or a life coach or a consultant, when they come to someone and they start asking those questions, the first thing we start to deal with is really getting more in depth with, well, what are the kind of things that excite you? What are the kind of things that ignite you? You know, if you could do anything, what would that look like? And we start kind of playing with that and start exploring that. And they start becoming more conscious mm-hmm. of the decisions mm-hmm. that they're doing, and conscious in their life in general of the things that they like to talk about, the things people ask them questions about. And all of a sudden, you know, there's little bubbles that start to come up that we start to explore and look at as well. I have kind of a five-step process that I use, and this is one piece of that five-step process as
and
well.
And the people literally begin to come alive, don't they?
Unbelievable. If I could give one or two examples
sure.
of clients that have
sure.
made changes
sure.
and that I've seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just fun to see it. And I can see it already in Richard, too. You know, when you start to make that change and start to talk about what you really love to do. But I had a client who was a pilot for Air Canada for years, right? I mean, he was 20-plus years as a pilot, and he was a captain. And all of a sudden, he started to have that bubbling up question, like, well, if I didn't do this, what could I do? But that's all he knew. That's all he knew.
Flying airplanes.
That's what he knew from Canada. You know, what else could he do? Is it how he thought about it? So anyway, long story short, he started to get more involved in a local YMCA just to help kids and make a difference. Then he started realizing he was more passionate about the YMCA and about helping the kids than he was as much as he was about flying. And he started to do the networking, started to work the five steps. And now I can say that he very happily is working for YMCA as a general manager for a YMCA.
Oh, my.
And loves it. And he started off as a pilot.
That's a great
Does
story.
That make sense?
That's a great story.
And there's,
story.
You know, there's literally hundreds of those. And that's why I wanted to write the book, because there's literally hundreds of those type stories where individuals started to realize they were good at what they did, but they started to realize, guys, this it? Or started to question, you know, is this everything that there is in life? Is there more that I could have? Is there more passion? And then all of a sudden they started to do the work and started to do the steps and realizing, getting to that next path in their life, that second career, if mm-hmm. you will, that mm-hmm. second chance. And they just have a new awakening, you know, not to sound religious, but, you know, it is like a new awakening for
mm-hmm.
them.
That's great. Well, Richard, you're in process, but you've got direction. You work with job seekers, you volunteer, you help and all of that. What do you try to do to help motivate them along or encourage them?
I want to make it fully engaging on their end. If they're going to make a change, it can't be my change. And a lot of times people come to folks that are helping them with resumes, helping them with interview prep, and they say, fix me. And I can't do that for them. I really can't. So what I do is I go through an assessment process, mm-hmm. and I send them an assessment that's tailored to them. And I ask inviting questions so that they will look inside and kind of do an introspective as to what they're looking for and where they are right now and assess that. By and large, most of the time, they come back and the light bulb goes off and they say, you know what? I really wanted to do this and I thought about this, but is now a good time? Well, I think now is the prime time. But they have to assess what's right for them, mm-hmm. whether it be their resume, whether it be their career, whether it be their life path, and decide that's right for them, and then move forward from there. And if they put all their eggs in that basket, I think it'll be the right one to carry to the from the market.
Now, I know Andrea has all these credentials and degrees and corporate study and experience. You've got seat of the pants, I didn't want this experience, right?
That is correct. I have an MBA in marketing, but it certainly didn't prepare me for job search. I can assure you, nothing does.
Other than the fact you're marketing yourself now, right?
And it is a product, and I think that when people realize that they do have a product, and you have to sell yourself as a product when you're marketing yourself sort of in a broad mm-hmm. scope. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking for something that'll make you happy and something you really want to do, if you throw your energy into that, I'm pretty sure you're going to be successful.
I would agree. Stone, what was it like for you when you met Lee and you saw what was going on and you said, there's something here?
Well, I found it very exciting, but I'm a little bit of a change junkie. I have a high risk tolerance, and my wife makes a very comfortable living. So I have a lot, and she's very supportive of my crazy entrepreneurial natures. But I don't think my situation is, I don't think that many people have that much going for them when they make these shifts. I would think for most people, this would be an incredibly scary time in their lives. I have what I'm sure is a little bit of an inelegant question, but I think it's got to be asked. It strikes me that the people you guys are trying to help don't have a lot of money. How do you guys make money?
Well, I can speak to that first.
Yeah, please.
I think one of the things that in my years that I've worked with individuals, sometimes I will certainly, if people can't afford it, but they really have the passion, I'll help them. You know, I'll work with them. But I do have to stay in business, you know, it is a business. And so one of the things that I have noticed is that when individuals start thinking about their life and their career path and what they really want to do, that it is worth the investment to be able to do that, because this is their rest of their life. And we're not talking about one moment, you know, like, oh, I'll go from director to senior director. This is about, I'm going to make a complete career change. I want to do something that I'm passionate and excited about. And so that it seems like they're willing to make the investment to do that.
Well, I mean, I think that framing is important. It's so true. But I wonder if, again, I mean, I really am unemployable. I haven't had a real job since like 1987, and that was even from my uncle's company.
Some say I haven't had a real job ever.
but I suspect that, people without the breadwinning wife and all that kind of stuff that I got going for me, that's got to be scary. And I wonder if they're not so close to it. One of the greatest values you guys provide is helping them get proper perspective on what a modest investment in themselves can mean over the long haul.
Right. And I think when they're really willing to do that, they can see the difference. But sometimes that does stop people, you know, to be fair. Sometimes that will stop people from moving forward, is to say, I can't do it right now. And they may stay in their job for longer than they want to, you know, because they're just not ready to do it. But I think that just to know at least that there's resources out there and to know that when they're ready, they can make that investment.
And what a difference it can make. You have some kind of like fallback, like, well, here, go read this stuff. If you don't have any money, go read this stuff. Do you have a little? I mean, you got to have that, right? You don't want
to
just.
There's certainly books. You know, I think that to me, I mean, I feel like you can get so much more by face-to-face and by talking to someone one-to-one. And, you know, like Richard say, to make it more personal just for you, because a book can't make it just for you. You know, a book can make it for just for you for hundreds of views, you know, but not for you specifically, and personalize it. So I think that an individual, that's one of the gifts that they bring. But yes, there are some other resources, websites, books, things like that, that at least they can start the process of discovering without having to talk to someone.
Well, how did you handle it? Because of you, as you've said, Richard, you've gone through it 3 times. And you've had many months of no paycheck.
See, he's unemployable, too. We're in the same club.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do his own thing.
I'm in an elite company here. I'm honored.
But how, really, what motivated you? You've contacted Andrea. How have you handled those shifts? What are the arguments that you give back to people when they say, can't afford it or don't think I should spend my money that way?
Well, so far, just for my own support, I have actually taken some contract opportunities. And as far as the resumes and preparing people for interviews, I do help out with a lot of nonprofit and church organizations that run these networking programs. And I will tell you, a lot of people can't afford it. They really can't. And so I do a lot of pro bono work. I do. But for some reason, I have not had issues really with money. Things have come through and been provided for, and it's been great. I will tell you that I try to help people and encourage them as much as I can, kind of on a free consulting basis, because the last thing I want is for somebody to go out there and not have an opportunity to get some help. I may not be able to go all the way to the end zone with them, but if I can just get them started, I feel like I've at least done something to get the ball rolling for them and get some thought process going.
Great, great. That's helpful. Let's shift a little bit, more pointed to what my program's about.
Oh, get out.
Oh, yeah. Your
it's
book.
So much fun.
Oh, Stone will take us back.
Do we even need him? Go get a cup of coffee, Doctor.
I will do that. I will do that. Talk to me.
Where's the love?
May I? Talk to me about, talk to our listeners, Andrea, right. about your book that you're
yes.
working on.
Yes. Well, and it's perfect segue because it's exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, as working with over 2,000 people in my career, I've seen a couple of individuals who, more than a couple actually, who have just made a difference in their life. They went from not enjoying their life and all the other things that affected them too. You know, when you're not enjoying your career and you're not in the right fit, then all of a sudden there's relationship issues and there's work issues and there's family issues and there's health issues, you know, and all of a sudden then when they start shifting that and they start really coming alive to what is right for them and they're on the right path, it's amazing to see how all these other issues, not miraculously, it's not overnight, but all of a sudden these other issues start to shift and start to change, and they're not as pronounced as they were in the past. And so watching that over the years and watching clients shift and change and grow like little flowers, you know, budding, I just felt like, wow, if these stories, I know these stories, but if I could share these stories with other individuals and help them in some way to move past the fear and to really take that step and to really look at what's right for them and to make the changes that are right for them, you know, how exciting would that be to be able to share that? And so that's what made me motivated to do the book.
So is it going to be a how-to book, or is it going to be a how-to book with stories, or is it going to be stories, or...
Yes.
Okay, got it. I understand that one. I do. She's like you, Stone.
I think it will actually be both. It will give them some steps to take, because I think that's important, some practical and pragmatic steps to take. Mm-hmm. But along the way, the stories are the motivational. That's the heart of the book, in my mind, is the stories, is to look at how other people did it and to learn from them and to get motivated from them. But also then within that, there will be some specifics and practical things that they can do and hold on to.
I need to tell my story, our story, if you will.
Tell our story,
what
too.
What was it? It's been 2-3 years ago? I forget. But a common friend that we had suggested that Andrea and I should meet. So we met at a Starbucks down on Johnson Ferry Road, heading into Fulton County. And the idea was she was going to talk to me about people she knew who wanted to write books. I became totally fascinated with all the questions you were asking me, and I finally realized you were making me focus in on what I am doing. And the next thing I knew, I was making an appointment with her. And we've had appointments ever since, so maybe quarterly or something like that. And the one I really remember is I called you in the morning and I said, got to talk. We talked later that afternoon or early evening, I forget. And I'm driving home and my cell phone goes off and it's Andrea sharing yet one more idea. And I thought, man, this is good. This is good. So... yeah, I look forward to the book. I'm giving you an endorsement because you've helped me think beyond what I normally would, and you put it into a format that I could understand. So your book, Richard.
Yes.
Talk to me about it. What's it going to be?
Well, I said the comical effect, and right away you can tell there's a little bit of sarcasm in the title. It's titled, The Job Search, What an Uplifting Experience.
Oh, man.
So right out of the gate, people know, okay, this guy's either pulling our chain or he's just a funny guy, and maybe somewhere in the middle. But I want people to look at the job search as not something that's just overwhelming and they'll never get out from under that black cloud. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel like, okay, there is a process. I'm not the only one. I think association's great. I think a lot of people think they're the only ones going through this and no one's having as difficult a time as them. And they need to realize there's others out there. So I want to share my own experiences, some things I went through, the black cloud that hung over me, what it took to get past it emotionally, to right myself emotionally, and to move on. And once you get past that stage, and then the other process, you can just use it as a planning process, and I think you can move forward. It's not that simple, but you just have to make a process, stick to it, and execute, and then it'll work.
One of the things I challenge all of my writing clients with is, how will your book differ from what's out there? You know, one of the classics out there is, what color is your parachute?
Right.
And there are just a whole bunch out there. What's going to make your book different from the others?
I want people to see that someone has gone through this and how they cope with this on a daily basis. And I think a lot of people, they don't get past the emotional part, and they think they do. I think you have to actually deal with that part first. I think you need to get angry, you need to get upset, you need to be unhappy, whatever you need to get that. But then once you get that done, pack that bag up and store it away and don't go back to it. And once you clear that part of it, you can emotionally move forward and go on with your search. And I think you have to get past that piece first. And once you do that, you set an agenda. You decide that you're going to set this much time per week with one-on-ones, with networking, with calling companies directly. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to create a marketing plan. You package yourself as a product and you move forward, not with a resume, not with a cover letter, but with all of the above. And you have to make sure you market yourself well. Get feedback from others. Get input from others. Say, if I came to you and was looking for a job, would you hire me? Get that input. Get that feedback. Practice, practice, practice. Get dressed in a suit. Stand in front of a mirror. All those things that people tell you and you say, that person's crazy. That doesn't work.
It works. Well, as you were responding there, Richard, the thought came to me when I left ministry, and I still joke about this when I work with job seekers groups, that, you know, what do ministers do? They talk endlessly on a Sunday morning and shake people down for money. You know, there is no business application there whatsoever. And so when I decided to try find a new job, I realized I had to package myself in corporate speak, so that all of my gifts and abilities, the two or three that I had, I had to put that into corporate speak so that people would take me seriously. And then eventually we would get back to, what did I used to do? But that's a critical piece. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been pretty good at funneling questions our way. Why, you guys can ask each other, ask us, what do you got going in your heads right now?
I would be interested, you know, you made a career change.
Yes, I did.
Well, I'd like to hear maybe a little bit about how that was for you. What helped you make that career change? And was there fear involved in going into the unknown? And how did you deal with it? Because that's kind of some of the things
they
that...
They were passing the plate and it wasn't getting filled up. They ran him out on the rail, right? So,
I was trying to keep that a secret.
Right.
Quite frankly, depression is what triggered it. I had experienced depression 3 times throughout my career as a ministry. And I realized this time the only way I was going to get out was to get out of ministry and find what to do. And Richard, as you were talking earlier, I was scared deathless. Yeah, what am I going to do? All of my degrees are around theology or whatever. And my chiropractor, of all people, said, would you join my practice and be a counselor? Specifically, would you work to identify the spiritual and emotional issues underlying all of my clients? And I said, well, that sounds good. That's the best offer I've got. So I did that. His one caveat was I had to earn my doctorate degree in naturopathy. So I did that. Well, didn't my dissertation become my first book? And that took me into learning about Right Choice Services. Well, I stayed at that, and I even worked with a medical doctor for about 2 years. And then I woke up one morning and said, why didn't I major in psychology in college? And the answer was because I didn't want to sit and have to deal with people all day long figuring out what was going on with them. And then I was given an offer to become a hospice chaplain. I said, hey, I can do that. I'm good at death and dying issues. And 2 years into that, I said, what am I doing? This is ministry, and I'm on call. And I, excuse me, I wanted to get away from that. In that interim, I had, as I said, I had hooked up with Right Choice Services. I had written 2-3 books and got them published. And then I became an independent contractor. And then I said, when Janet was retiring, I said, I'll buy the company. And it just seemed so right. Just, I was having fun. I looked forward to each day. And when I began to work it full time, then just all kinds of things happened. So there were that three years of unsteady income. Like Stone, I have a wonderful wife who has a job, a real job with a real paycheck and real benefits.
That's the best career advice you could give people, is get a spouse that is a breadwinning spouse. That's like step one in building your career.
Yeah. But I had that fear. And now, you know, the irony of it all is when I work with my writing clients, I have a sense of business. I ran a seminary overseas for 3 years, so I know profit and loss and how to market and all those kinds of things. A lot of people want to come writing about spiritual stuff, religious issues. They want to write about their health issues. I've kind of got everything in there that I can work with. So mm-hmm. that's my journey, and it's been fun.
And now he's a rock star radio host,
now
right?
He's a rock star radio host.
Oh, man.
To add to the mini list of things that he does, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Richard, you got to ask her a tough question. I have been throwing cream puffs at her.
Well, you know, I really don't know that I can ask her a tough question because I actually met Andrea about 4 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago at a Hiring for Hope event. And it was a great event, large-scale event, a lot of folks there, a lot of local companies that were there as well. And she took the time to spend about 15 minutes just talking to me, asking me about what I was looking for, what I was thinking about doing. And it was almost like she sensed right away that I was looking for a change and that I had something I wanted to do, and I just needed that little nudge, maybe that little encouragement to move forward and then go into the seminar as well. So I have nothing but kudos to give for my partner here. She's done quite well by me, and I think that she's great encouragement for me and certainly great for others. But I can't really think of anything tough to say, so I have to say that I'm going to leave the tough questions for you and your partner, Stone.
We're not allowed to do that. Well, if people want to be in contact with you or ask about your writing and your work and all of that, what's the best way for them to be in touch? Richard?
If somebody wants to talk to me about my writing, they can certainly contact me. They can contact me directly through my email address. It's richmorg45@yahoo.com. It's the best way to reach me.
There's 44 other people that start out richmorg, and you were number 45?
No, that was somebody else's age, not mine.
But I'm bummed.
You see why I don't let him uncaged?
That was good. You caught that right away. I like that. That was good.
And Andrea, people want to be in touch with you.
Sure. Two ways. One, they can always call me because, as Richard said, I love to hear from individuals and hear what they're doing and how I can help them best. 404-403-0329 is my direct line, mm-hmm. or they can email me as well at Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, dot Rosenthal, R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L, and then the name of my company, Career Solutions, and that's CareerSoulutions.
Okay.
So there's a soul in the career.
We like that. We like that. Well, the clock is on us. And I welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just send us an email, whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. And thank you, Stone, for co-hosting and jumping in this morning. I really did appreciate it.
Well, thanks for letting me play, man.
Yeah. And thank you to our guests, Andrea Rosenthal and Richard Morgan. One more time, Andrea, your contact information?
Is andrea.rosenthal@careersolutions.com.
And Richard?
richmorg45@yahoo.com.
And that would be M-O-R-G, not M-O-R-G-U-E, correct?
That is correct.
I just had to do that. You know, Jones?
You're dealing with words,
it's,
people.
It's catchy. I see it's flowing that way. It's going to go full circle, and we're all going
to
be
Well, that's just it. Stone, I have never given you the opportunity to provide your contact information. Go for it, my friend.
All right. Well, my direct line is 770-518-1412. And 770-335-2050 and stone@businessradiox.com.
Great. Well, Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's spelled W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week, and I really hope you tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com, and the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.